Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's your turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's your turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's your turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. We have guests who will be visiting with us today. A little bit later, we'll be talking with some folks from the Pittsburgh North Chamber of Commerce and also some folks from the upcoming Pittsburgh Business Show. We'll find out what that's all about. That's going to be in May. But that's later on the program. First, we welcome Justin Brackenridge, who's agronomy educator for Butler County. Justin, good to see you again. Nice to have you back with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. I guess economy might be close, too, because agronomy certainly ties in with the local economy, does it not?
Yeah, I think that kind of serves all of us, right, to know our economy a little bit and agriculture and everything we do.
Justin came on board with Penn State Extension as the agronomy educator for Butler County what, a little over a year ago, year and a half, something like that?
Year and a half, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're originally from West Virginia, as I recall.
Correct. Good memory.
Yeah. Boy, it's an exciting time of the year for not just farmers, but also for gardeners. Things are starting to green up and loosen up, and we're ready for the growing season pretty soon here, aren't we?
Yeah, it's not long off. We were talking before this that, you know, it's this time of year when the seed bed starts to dry out, right? And so the soils get better for production, and the grass starts to grow, and it just changes everybody's mindset. And everybody's getting really excited. You know, last year was such a crazy year to try and deal with rain and planning that precipitation and getting crops in the ground, whether you were a gardener or someone at home trying to manage your lawn or an agricultural producer, mm-hmm. It just kind of drove you up the walls. But, you know, everybody dealt with that, and now this year it looks more favorable, so we're ready.
Last year we started into spring and it began to rain, and it just seemed like it never stopped. Throughout the entire summer, even into the autumn, we just had more rain than we've hardly ever seen. And some folks might think, well, that should be great for farmers. Actually, too much rain is just as bad as a drought. Especially in the beginning, you can't till the soil, you can't plant when it's too wet, right?
Right, and so what happens, typically what we see a lot of times is we have these spring events where we have a lot of rain, and our roots get really shallow because they don't go deep, because they don't need to go deep to get water from that in-ground water table.
So ordinarily the roots would grow down. So they can get
yep.
water, okay.
And so then last year, you know, they never went down because they didn't need to. Everything was so shallow. We had such good rain. But then you see problems with lodging, which is when crops fall over because everything is just so shallow rooted, right? There's nothing mm-hmm. to hold them up. And when you see wind and you see those kind of things, weeds were a real issue last year. We're seeing more and more issues with that and controlling them in our crop fields, which then makes them more difficult to control everywhere because we can't get in to do the practices that we usually do just because of our soils being so wet, and we don't want to create compaction issues and rutting issues and a lot of these surface problems. And a lot of times we just have to sit on our hands because there's nothing we can do but watch it happen.
I can remember when I was a youth, my father was, he just loved to plant corn. He loved to eat sweet corn, you know, in the late summer. And I can remember several years where the corn would come down due to strong gusty winds, and you know you have to prop it back up again or you're not going to get any corn. And that was a real job going out in the garden, you know, trying to prop up that corn and, you know, compact the soil around it, and hopefully it'll survive, you know, after being blown over. So that happens. Well, we hope it's not the case this year. Right now, Justin and I were talking for a couple of minutes before we went on the air. If the soil were only warmer, this would be great weather for planting because conditions are just perfect in terms of being able to to get tractors out in the fields and so on and so forth. But it's too early to plant most crops yet, right?
Right. So, I've been out doing some farm visits actually this week because it has been so nice that people are getting ready. But what we are planting now, if you do see people planting, which there may be some, will be these grass crops, right, for our hay or our pastures or legumes like alfalfa or clovers. Or even some of our small grains like oats, if we use something like that. Right now is a really good time that we can get those planted because our soils are good, they're ready, and they're going to be a little bit more tolerant of this cold weather that we would still, you know, run that potential to see. Mm-hmm. And we can get that stuff in the ground now so that when the weather is right and we get closer to corn and beans and these other cash crops, we've got some of this behind us and we're not trying to do too many things at one time.
Wow. We'll keep our fingers crossed for the farmers and for the gardeners, the backyard gardeners, that we don't get as wet and sloppy as it was last year, and it just never seemed to dry out. We want to talk about soybeans today. Soybeans are apparently becoming a bigger and bigger crop here in Butler County, I guess, huh?
Yeah, so soybeans are I've talked to a lot of the farmers in Butler County, right? So since I did come from West Virginia, I was pretty unfamiliar with a lot of what went on in Pennsylvania, and a lot of the farmers that I've worked with said that in their lifetime is when they've really seen soybeans come in, mm-hmm. that when they were younger, soybeans weren't grown in Pennsylvania or in Butler County.
I can remember when I was a little kid, we used to travel, and we had relatives that lived out in Indianapolis, and we went out there every summer, and you'd see soybeans. We didn't know what they were.
Right.
Originally, you'd see them all over the place out there in western Ohio and in Indiana. We didn't grow them here, but now.
And so just in that period of time, you know, just in a lifetime,
yeah.
We're really seeing this increase amount of soybeans. And so what we're trying to do now is figure out how we can be better at doing that, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got people that want to grow them, and we are growing them. But what can we do as an institution and as a university to help with that? And so we work with the Pennsylvania Soybean Board, and one of the things that they do is there's a soybean checkoff. And as a private person, any producer selling beans, for every $100 of soybeans they sell, 50 cents of that is taken. So a really small amount is taken as part of this soybean board that's then used for education and research and for us to do field days and for us to do these kind of things through the university and other grants and things like that to help producers to do a better job, because it is such a new crop to this area. We just really want to do the best we can with it and encourage people to try it and keep going, because we do need these rotations in our systems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, crop rotation is important, and this applies to backyard gardeners too, sure. Not just farmers. Because if you plant exactly the same crop in exactly the same place in your garden or in your fields, there are some crops that tend to suck up more nutrients or one particular kind than others do, and you'll drain the soil, right?
Well, and other things are diseases, ah. right? So we have diseases, and we think so. Corn is essentially a grass, right? It's a cultivated grass. But it's very similar to any of our small grains or any of our grasses. And so when we have diseases that would be an issue with corn, maybe they wouldn't express out in wheat to a point that it would cause a problem. But that wheat stubble or that corn stubble can still facilitate the growth of that disease until that corn is put back in there. And so we break these disease cycles by putting soybeans into a rotation because they're not a host for a pathogen. Mm. Or we use a cover crop that's going to be a different mix of things. And so that's where it really becomes important is one, we can use some nutrient drawdown effect because things are going to take different nutrients out of the soil. But two is to really help break up some of our disease cycles and keep that from coming worse and get out of that corn after corn after corn system, which can be so hard to manage in long-term systems.
Are farmers here in Butler County able to grow enough soybeans that it becomes a viable cash crop?
Viable cash crops are kind of a tough thing. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that are doing a really good job and being very productive with soybeans. The issue that comes up a lot here in Butler County is deer, right? So I deal with that a lot, is deer can really be hard on soybeans.
They eat them?
Oh, absolutely. Uh-huh. And it's not necessarily always the pods, but it is the plant. And so they're constantly, you know, taking off this new growth. And the same as if you have a home garden, you know, trying to keep deer out of your green beans can be a real problem.
Yeah, yeah.
They like to take those top leaves right off the top, and you know, they'll just keep them mowed just right to a uniform height. And that can be a real issue. Some of the other issues that we deal with are disease, right? And so we look at ways that we can treat that. And some of the problems we saw last year, especially with all the moisture, was molds and fungal infections. And so one of the research projects we have now is seed treatments. And we use these fungicide-treated seeds as a way to kind of break these cycles, right? So we don't want our seeds to rot due to fungus in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But this also promotes healthier plants once they emerge. And there's a lot of varieties of these treatments available, but our research is lacking to give consumers better information. And so we like to have people that are willing to let us come out and put these plots in so that we can get better information for them, but we can share this across the state. Because one of the things that's really interesting about beans is what's grown in the northern part of Butler County, variety-wise, would be very different than the southern part of Butler or the southern part of Pennsylvania.
Really?
Because of their flowering dates.
Huh.
And they're very narrowing groups. And so what we do in Butler is very different than what happens at Penn State as a whole, at main campus, and is very different than what happens on our research farm in Landisville outside of Lancaster. And because we have such a diverse climate in this state, that's why it's so important that we get this research out on private farms all across the state, so that we have all of these site years and all of these different geographic regions and topographies to strengthen our data and to strengthen our knowledge to help give consumers better reports.
I've seen on the back of a seed packet that you would purchase at your lawn and garden store, for example. They have, you know, regions of the United States where, you know, if you want to plant this crop and you live in Pennsylvania or Maryland or whatever, and it'll tell you, you know, what dates you can typically plant this safely. So I know it varies from place to place. I didn't realize that it was that site-specific. That even northern Butler County was different from southern Butler County. So this is the kind of thing that Penn State Extension tries to figure out, right?
Sure, yeah. We're doing all we can. And that goes back to, so again, I'm new to Butler County, but I know there's really distinct differences of once you hit close to I-80, right, compared to what would be down in here. And that flowering date of those beans is what makes such the difference through that. So, but yeah, that's really the stuff that we're trying to figure out, and we're really trying to help people in this western part of the state, now that we have educators over here, because I'm here, we have another one just like me in Mercer, maybe slightly better than me, actually. But she's in Mercer. We have another one in Katanning and then one in Crawford. And so now we're here and we're able to do work, right? So a long time this area was underserved. We're just really trying to get out and be as active as we can and help as many people as possible.
So when the soybeans flower, that's when they can pollinate, right?
Correct.
You haven't got a flower before you can do that.
Yep.
Do we need bees to do that too, or can I know corn can sometimes partially pollinate at least with the wind?
Sure.
I don't know about soybeans.
What we do with soybeans is we have another program, right? We have all kinds of programs to help people with soybeans, and we have one that's called Sentinel Plots. And what we do really look for in beans are beneficial insects, right? So we look for our pollinator insects. But we have a lot of really good insects, too. Parasitic wasps, those would be wasps that would attack some of our negative insects. We have lace wings, we have some other mites, and some things that are really good to help us control some of our negative bugs, like stink bugs, Japanese beetles, things like that, aphids.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we go out and we monitor fields for insects and diseases, and it's good insects as well as bad insects. And we report this back so what I did last year, I had three plots in Butler County, and I reported every week. And then that comes out in a newsletter that if you're in the area, you can say, wow, you know, okay, so in this general part of the county, what they're seeing is a large infestation of this or disease that looks like that. And that helps you be proactive on scouting your fields and gives you an idea of what to be looking for as you're watching yours. Or when we talk about disease, what to be looking at as we we buy our varieties because we do have varieties that are more resistant to certain types of disease or infections. And so that just is really good knowledge to have. And so we categorize or we catalog that on a statewide level to where we have about 60 of these plots across the state. And we can look at how good insects and bad insects and diseases are moving all throughout Pennsylvania.
Mm. Stink bugs, one of the ugliest creatures on earth, I think. They do not harm humans. They cannot bite you, but they can be cause horrible destruction to some of our crops, right?
So one of the things that we really try to do is to educate people is a lot of these bugs. And so last year, Japanese beetles were a real problem. I knew I had them at my house, but even when I was out scouting fields, we saw a lot of Japanese beetles and stink bugs. And what they do is they eat the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
And we have these thresholds as to where you can lose 30% of the leaf on your plant before you really start to see economic damage. But the hard part is when you have this bushy soybean, what's 30% of that, right? I mean, that becomes this really kind of trivial thing to sort out in your head of how many leaves do you have and what size are they, and where the economic return is on spraying that insecticide to treat those insects, or if you're actually at 10%, you're not going to see real damage to that, and so economically you're not benefiting by making that application. And so that's another thing that we can do through this is we can help educate people that have these problems, bring them out and let them look at these things with us, and we can show them pictures and show them tables of this is what 30% damage is and this is what 15% damage is, and kind of help go through some of these thresholds.
What are soybeans used for anyway? Are they edible by humans, or do we use them as feed for animals, or are they ingredients in other products and manufacturing?
So a lot of times they're sold to other places, right, that then they're used for animal feeds. One of the issues with soybeans for animal feeds is they have to be roasted. That's an issue with proteins and and a palatability thing too. So a lot of times on our farms, if we have soybeans, there's people in the county that will come out and they'll roast your beans for you, or you can take them somewhere and have them roasted and pick them back up. But that's a key part to using them as an animal feed, is they really need to be roasted. Then there can be sold soybean oils are becoming more common as we move towards some of these more healthier oils and some of these healthier products. Soybeans are kind of getting used in some of those. But generally what we see in this area for soybeans are used for animal feeds that are being sent more to the Midwest in the fashions of trains and large trucks.
Do they grow in a pod like green beans?
Yeah, so they usually, depending on the type of bean you have, that's one of the things you would get when you selected a variety would be how many beans you would usually see in that pod. Sometimes you'll have pods with four beans. Sometimes you'll have pods with two beans. Generally, we kind of look at 2.5 beans as an average on pods across beans. And one of the really neat things about soybeans is that, with corn, you get one ear of corn or two ears of corn. But with soybeans, if we spread them out, we can run these populations numbers down. And they just, because they're an indeterminate plant, they just have more and more pods. And so sometimes you'll pull one plant and you'll find 60 pods. You can go somewhere else that looks thin, and you'll pull that plant, and because it's had more room to grow, it'll have 160 pods.
Oh.
You get this really interesting give and take, and then you see different sizes in beans, and they're just a fascinating plant. We know so little about, how all these things work. That's why we're spending so much time trying to work through how we can do better to serve.
Is it a fairly easy plant to grow here in our region, apart from the insect problems that you've already discussed? I mean, is it a high maintenance crop is what I'm asking.
So there's challenges, right? Everything has its associated challenges. One major issues that go along with soybeans can be molds, because they do have such a large canopy. Like if you go back to think about your green beans or your peas or something, where you have all these drooping leaves, air circulation can be an issue within there. And so you can get real issues with molds, and that's why we look at some of these fungicide treatments especially, is because molds can be really detrimental. You can have just tremendous issues, large plots, and I'm trying to I can see them in my head, right? So you can just go with these like 50-foot areas that'll just be totally matted down because of a mold, and then you can jump somewhere else and you'll see something differently.
Huh.
It's fascinating.
I'm assuming that they can, obviously, they can be harvested mechanically,
sure.
Right?
Sure. And so that's one of the things with beans is they come off, you know, about the same time as where we're shelling corn. And you just use a bean head just like you would on a combine with corn, but just a slightly different style of head. And you pull those things off, just, you know, you mow kind of close to the ground, and you get a little bit. So you don't have nearly the stubble that you have with corn, right? So that's the other advantageous part of that, putting it into your rotation, is your follow-up on planting. If you're going into grass or a small grain or sod or something, you don't have all of that residue and all of that kind of stuff laying out in your field that you would after you do corn, because it breaks down much quicker than that big corn stalk and that big corn fodder does. So there's a lot of advantageous parts of having this soybean in this rotation, besides the disease break, but also it gives you the ability to have a little bit cleaner field to plant into the upcoming year.
We'll take a break. We'll talk more with Justin Brackenridge, Penn State Extension agent, agronomy educator for Butler County, when we come back. And we'll be back right after these words.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Join the Butler County Symphony for the season finale and a special Sunday matinee concert this Sunday, April 14th. The concert is entitled Fire and Water. Hear selections from Stravinsky, Mahler, and Debussy. Concert begins at 3 p.m. Butler Intermediate High School. Following the concert, you're invited to celebrate 70 years of the Butler Symphony. Tickets available at the Symphony Office on the Diamond, downtown Butler, or online at butlersymphony.org. It's the season finale of the Butler Symphony this Sunday, 3 p.m. at Butler Intermediate High School Auditorium. Program note coming up on tomorrow's It's Your Turn program. We're scheduled to chat with the president of Butler County Community College, Dr. Nick Neupower, scheduled to be with us on tomorrow's program. We're chatting right now with Justin Brackenridge, agronomy educator for Butler County and Penn State Extension. One other thing while we're talking about soybeans here, black cutworm, that's another insect pest. Well, I guess not an insect, really. It's a caterpillar? What is it anyway?
So black cutworm is something that we trap. So we look for that associated with cornfield, right? So it's associated through soybeans because of the rotation, and where we come out of soybeans, that doesn't really break that infestation of that pest. And years prior, we had the corn borer was our major concern with corn. And so as we moved through and we got BT corn, which was a corn that was bred and selected to control corn borer, then this black cutworm was able to express itself. And what it is if you go to the store and you buy corn and you peel back your husk and you find a worm in there, you know, that caterpillar, that's the larvae of the moth that we're looking to trap. And so when I trap them, I'm trapping a moth. But what we're looking for is the moth we use as an indicator of egg lays,
okay.
Right? And so you know, I started this last year. This is kind of funny to me, maybe not. But I started it last year, and I trapped these moths, and I would go out and go to these farms in Butler, and I would check them, and I'd find like four or five moths or six moths. And they kept telling me, you're looking for a significant flight of moths. And when I would find six moths in a little bucket the size of a basketball overnight, you know, that seems like a significant number. And I'd come back to the office, and they'd say, well, you know, they actually, so I'd send these numbers to the state college, and they'd say, well, you know, Actually, that's like 200 to 300 is what we're looking for as a significant flight.
Oh.
And so we really don't see major issues with that in this area. And so we trap them. Right, so I was really excited about catching moths. But, I mean, I guess it's not a good thing to want to catch them because then that means we have an issue. But we'll see early traps, early flights that occur now. But the issue is, or even earlier, the eggs that they lay, they're not going to be feeding when our corn is to the point where it's going to be susceptible to feeding. So we're looking for the moths that are going to be laying eggs between now and, say, the middle of May, 1st of June, because that's when those eggs are going to be hatching, and that's when they're going to be feeding on the roots and the seeds of our corn, and then even up the stalks and into the ears and the things of our corn. So that's just another thing that we do here just to kind of monitor where we're at on insects and some pests around the community and the county.
Did you know, listeners, at Penn State Extension, this is what we're talking about when we say research-based tips and so on. You're not just guessing at all this stuff. You survey, you trap, you experiment, you have plots. What did you call them?
Sentinel plots.
Sentinel plots. I've seen these along the road every once in a while.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see a sign that'll say a certain type of corn here,
sure.
And it's kind of a test plot, you know. Does this grow well in this area and so on and so forth. Penn State Extension, always busy. What are some of the other agronomy resources and opportunities that are available, Justin?
So, you know, again, we're going to be doing all these soybean things up through the upcoming year. We've got some research opportunities, but we're going to be doing some other things. And so as we do these opportunities and we put out these plots and we do these weed trials and things, what we want to do is we want to turn these into field days, right? That's how we get the most use out of them to the community is we're getting the research data, but then we want to invite people to come out. So what we're going to do is we're going to set up some of these factor trials and we're going to set up some weed demonstrations. And I've got a hay workshop coming up where we're going to talk about how to do a no-till hay seeding in the fall. And, so what we're going to do is we're going to set these things up. We're going to send out some invitations and hopefully get some people that come out and want to do stuff with us. Because obviously I'm biased, but it's a lot of fun, right, to go out and go to these field days or to have these plots on your farm because things are always changing, right? I mean, you can't assume that everything's staying the same because we talked about the weather, and the weather's always changing. And
there's climate change to
sure.
deal with, too, you know.
And I've worked with some guys, and they seem a little apprehensive to start this, but then part of the way through the year, they start working through their own ideas of what we should do for next year for trials or what we should do in 2021 for trials. It's really kind of a contagious thing that once you start adjusting and changing some things, you really can have a lot of fun with it. So I really encourage you that if you're in this area to give me a call or any of the others, because we like to do this. I tell people that I'm a field agronomist, not a desk agronomist. And if I'm not getting calls to go out, then I have to be a desk agronomist, and that's just not nearly as much fun.
You mentioned you're planning probably in August a field day on no-till hay seeding. It's my understanding that no-till agriculture is growing in popularity for a number of crops, corn, for example.
Mm-hmm.
What's the benefits? I mean, you know, if you go back a generation or two, everybody was plowing their fields.
Sure.
You know, you plow them, and then you disc them, and then you plant. No-till eliminates the plowing and the disking, right?
Right. So, first of all, that's a huge benefit, right? Just time saving, because you just listed all these mechanical practices. One, you have to go out there, and you have to till it. You know, you have to use a plow to break up that layer, and then you have mm-hmm. to disc it, and then you have to finish it to make it a smooth seed bed. And so, you know, we've already talked about mechanical practices and energy that you've exerted and money and fuel that maybe wasn't necessary. Some other things are, you know, as we've moved forward and we've talked about runoff and environmental qualities and environmental protections, every time that we move that soil and we open it up and we take the cover off of it, that's just encouraging more and more runoff and more nutrient pollution to come off of these fields. And it's
and
not,
loss of topsoil, too.
Sure, sure. And it's not just the pollution aspect of it, but it's the money that we've invested into these fields and nutrients. So if we're applying fertilizer that we're paying for, when that topsoil runs off, all that money that we've put in fertilizer is running off right with it. So we like to keep as much cover as there's possible, and we also have this soil health concept, and it's becoming larger and larger that we have soil health conferences and soil health workshops, and that's talking about the insect communities and the biologics that are inside your soil. And every time you break those soils up with these mechanical equipment, you're disrupting that habitat and you're disrupting those processes, and that those soils can't heal themselves and they can't be aggregates and form themselves and infiltrate water when they're constantly in a form of disruption, right? So when we can let them sit and we can let them work themselves, they're much more stable and they're much more productive for us. Plus, we have a lot more time to do other things that are more fun than sitting on a tractor riding around.
Can a backyard gardener implement no-till gardening too?
Absolutely. I have a good friend that listens to your show, and I talk to her often, and we do a lot of things no-till with her. Mm-hmm. And we talk a lot about opportunities of cover cropping in gardens and using different crops and legumes to fix nitrogen into the gardens and different rotational practices. And absolutely, they can do anything that we can do. You just have to, you know, as a gardener, your equipment is just slightly different, right? You don't maybe have these great big tractors or all these different things. But when there's a will, there's a way. You just have to talk to somebody. And I work with a lot of gardens and a lot of homeowners too. I'm more than willing to help anybody that wants to learn and wants to do things.
More information on any of the things we discussed today. Fascinating conversation today. More information from Penn State Extension office here in Butler. Justin Brackenridge is the agronomy educator for Butler County. Nice to talk with you, Justin. Good to see you.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. More to come on It's Your Turn. We'll take a break. We're going to be talking with the Pittsburgh North Chamber coming up on the next segment of the program, so stick with us. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Pittsburgh commuters, are you tired of sitting in traffic while wasting all of your money on parking fees, wear and tear on your vehicle, and gas? Butler Transit is a commuter's choice from Butler County to Pittsburgh. BTA's chartered buses offer free park and ride locations, onboard Wi-Fi, and charging stations, and real-time bus location technology. Stop worrying about traffic, detours, and downtown parking. Catch a bus at a location near you. Visit butlertransit.com for daily schedules, mobile ticketing, and a stress-free commute.
There were lots of famous duels in history, but ours involves pianos, not pistols. Connecting to Tomorrow presents Piano Maniacs, dueling piano show on Saturday, April 13th at the Lindora Legion. Tickets are $20 each and can be purchased at the door, Butler Radio Network, or online at Eventbrite. Doors open at 6 and the fun starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21 or older, and food will be available. Proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring program. So come join the fun on Saturday, April 13th for our Dueling Pianos event.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others. Welcome back, friends. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. Can you believe it's April 10th already? Wasn't it just the tail end of March, like yesterday? Wow, April 10th. We have another sunny day. It's breezy again, though. We weren't expecting it to be quite this windy today, but that's kicked up. And it's a little chilly, too, but we got the sun. Hey, we're going to be talking about a couple of things on the next segment of the program. We welcome two guests. Melissa Leedy is here. Melissa is the Member Accounts Executive for the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Melissa, good to see you. Nice to have you here today.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
Also visiting with us, and we'll be chatting with her in just a few minutes, Linda Jill Thornburg, who's president of the Pittsburgh Business Show. Linda, nice to have you here as well.
Thank you.
Your show's coming up in May, I think, right?
Yep, May 14th and 15th.
Yeah. We'll get all the details on that in just a few minutes here.
Yeah.
First of all, the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. Explain to our listeners who are not familiar with that just what your geographical footprint is, Melissa. What areas do you serve?
Sure. So we have two offices, one's in Cranberry and the other's in Wexford. And we kind of have a large footprint. We merged from two chambers into one. So we're right on the Butler County line to right before downtown. And we most of our businesses are in Cranberry, Wexford, Ross, Ealing, Opal, that area.
Mm-hmm. Very rapid growth area over the past couple of decades.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. And it continues to be so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every time I drive through there, there's something new.
Yeah.
It almost makes your head spin. You offer several networking events throughout the year, right?
We do. We have four networking meetings every single week, two in Cranberry, one in Wexford, and then one in Valencia as well. And coming in May, we have one that's going to be in McCandless Crossing area.
Mm-hmm. Are these well attended?
They are. So we average between 20 and 35 usually at each one of those every single week.
What's the big advantage of these networking sessions? What happens there?
A lot of the times, businesses just need to be known before they're needed. People don't realize that they need your services, but if you have been around and you've been consistent in these networking groups, when it comes to them needing a need, they know who to call.
Mm-hmm. And all other things being equal, most folks would like to utilize services and products that are available locally instead of, you know, like Omaha or Tucson or somewhere like that.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah, yeah. You also provide educational programming on a regular basis, right, for your members?
Yeah, we actually have an educational program today that we had, a lunchbox session. We offer that once a month. Today it was on learning how to learn social media, how to turn sales calls from no to yeses. So we do a different educational program each month for that for our lunchbox sessions, along with other programming that we have too.
Advertising is available to members on your website?
Absolutely, yeah. It's on the tab on our homepage.
Mm-hmm. And you do ribbon cuttings?
We do. And I'm expecting to be very busy this year. Last year, we did over 45 ribbon cuttings.
Get out. Really?
Wow. And so with the amount of growth that we have in our area, we look to probably exceed that in 2019.
You know, we hear a lot in the national news about how small business is the backbone of American business. And mm-hmm. I just didn't realize we had that many new ones developing all the time here in our region.
There's a lot, and we have 91% of our members are small businesses, so less than 50 employees, and we have about 1,000 businesses in our chamber, so there's a lot going on.
I know we were talking earlier this year about an event that you were holding, Night at the Races. How did it go?
It was a great event. If you're not familiar with that, that was an event to raise money for our scholarship program. That goes towards high school seniors who are looking to go to college in the fall. Mm-hmm. And we raised over $4,800 for that event. So that'll allow us to give $5,000 scholarships to college age eligible kids that are going in this year. So that's great.
Super, super. You also have Meet and Move events. Well, that's intriguing. What's a meet and move?
Yeah, so that's actually going to be in Cranberry at NOAA's event venue, and that's at the end of the month, April 29th. So you'll start with a buffet at 11 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, you'll start at one table. You get a piece of paper, get to give your pitch for about 2 to 3 minutes, who you are, who your business is, with 7 other business representatives, move to another table with 7 new reps, and then one more time. So you have an opportunity to talk to 21 different businesses and then networking before and afterwards. So it's a great way to get your name out there in a small amount of time.
Sounds analogous to speed dating or something
like
that. It is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Except from a business standpoint. You've also been able to partner with the Sunrise Rotarians in Cranberry, right?
Yes. So we're doing a golf outing that's happening May 13th, and we've partnered with Junior Achievement and the Sunrise Cranberry Rotary to put on this event. So if you're interested in golf, we have foursomes available, and then we're also looking for volunteers who want to help us with that event as well.
And that is May 13th, and as we were exclaiming just a few moments ago, this is April 10th already, so that's going to be here before we know it, huh? How do people get a hold of you if they're interested in that? Maybe they're just hearing about it right now.
Sure. So you can always check out our website, pghnorthchamber.com, or you can call the office as well. We are more than happy to answer any questions that you have. The big draw is that it is at Treesdale Golf and Country Club, so it's a very nice venue that you usually can't get in unless you are a member for. So.
Do you play golf, Melissa?
I play golf not so well, but I play, so there's that.
Treesdale is really nice. Yeah. Designed by the late Arnold Palmer.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's unusual in that it's so spread out. You know, there are homes all throughout the golf course. You really need a map when you're playing it.
You do. Well, they have a new feature this year. Their golf carts have GPSs in them, so you can see where you are at any time on the course, which is kind of neat.
Yeah, it's a nice track. That's coming up on May 13th. I suppose you need to register for that
May 7th.
Before May 7th?
Yes.
Okay. So take care of that. Well, listen, we want to take a quick break here, and then we want to talk about the upcoming Pittsburgh Business Show. I'm not familiar with that at all, but we will be shortly as we talk with Linda Jo Thornburg. So quick break and then back with more with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR, the Wednesday edition. Back after these words.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location downtown Butler to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary. And the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler.
One of our other guests with us on this segment of It's Your Turn is Linda Jo Thornburg, president of the Pittsburgh Business Show. Linda Jo, what's the Pittsburgh Business Show?
The Pittsburgh Business Show is an annual event for small to medium businesses in the Pittsburgh area, although we truly want to work with all 10 counties in the Western Pennsylvania market. And it's a place where small businesses can come down. We offer exhibiting space. It's a trade show, a conference, and a networking event. So we host about 150 to 200 exhibitors. Last year we had 2,800 business owners come attend. We have workshops on everything from IT services to how to network and how to grow your business, sales, networking.
Pretty big show then, things. Huh?
Yeah, it's a pretty big event. We've had a great opportunity to partner with a lot of the chambers. I'm a member of the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber, and they are absolutely amazing in helping to promote the event, as well as they're gracious enough to host some of those speed networking events that they were talking about. So we have three of those this year that they'll be hosting.
When and where does the Pittsburgh Business Show take place?
It's May 14th and 15th, and we host it down at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center. So we're in Hall A this year, so we're super excited to be there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a big show, and that's a big venue. So
it is.
That's good. Do you have to register in advance if you want to come?
Yeah, we do register attendees, and they can go right to our website, pittsburghbusinessshow.com, and register. There's tickets available for just the speed networking. It's a long show, 2 days, so attending, the agenda's right up there on the website, so a lot of the attendees can kind of take a look and see what fits best into their schedule. But we host different events throughout the day. Some attendees, though, come both days, full days, and they can get those tickets right on the website. So,
how long has this been going on?
This is only my third year. So we started it in 2017 was our first year. That year we were the 18th largest public event in Pittsburgh, hosted at the convention center. So we were super excited about that success, and we're just looking to grow.
Who's your target audience? Who should be interested in attending this?
This event is for anyone who really wants to better themselves, whether they're a business owner, an employee. We offer CEU credits. We work with HR professionals. So really anyone in business that wants to learn or grow, there's something for them. We work with a lot of great business coaches and leaders throughout for programming and workshops. So, I mean, we also help a lot with the SBA. They're a part of it, as well as SCORE. And so whether you're looking to grow your business, start a business, sell your business, there's something there education-wise or even just networking-wise for you.
SBA is the Small Business Administration,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They'll be doing some programming there as well this year.
What's SCORE?
SCORE is an amazing organization, and they really are mentoring services for all businesses. So you can go to their website and they will actually partner. It's all free services as far as mentors, and they assign you to a mentor and help you with any questions you might have. They have a lot of great subject matter experts that they can partner you with for specific topics if you're looking for it. And this year we're welcoming them to doing some speed mentoring. So in the evening, on Tuesday evening, they'll actually have six of their mentors there. And if you're a business owner, you can come and, you know, kind of doing speed mentoring. So ask those questions that you might not necessarily ask. I think they're bringing HR, legal services, marketing, I think IT, can't remember all the things that there'll be, but
sounds like you got a lot of workshops here. Where will there be time for folks to just browse around, you know, like a window shop, for example?
There is time for that. We strategically place the workshops throughout the day, but it is a full pack schedule. We know that business owners are really busy, so we try to put as much effort into planning out their day in the future as possible, so before they get to the event. We also have a program that has all the workshops listed as well as on our website. But not every business owner needs to attend all the different workshops, so we try to have a very vast variety. This year, we're partnered with the Pittsburgh Metropolitan Area Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and Tuesday is going to be more diversity and inclusion, like a circuit. And then Wednesday, we are hosting the Women Who Embrace Life Women's Leadership Conference. So Wednesday will be tailored a little bit more towards women and focusing on those.
Women Who Embrace Life Conference?
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
That is the beginning. We're launching that event as part of the Pittsburgh Business Show hosted. And there's really a great opportunity, I think, with myself being a women-owned business, supporting other women-owned businesses. And so it'll be a place where women-owned businesses will be recognized throughout, and there will be just a lot of programming based towards that. We partnered with Inspiring Lives Magazine. Darieth Chisholm is also a part of that. And ultimately, that will actually be a national event, and we're planning for four conferences a year for that. But we're lucky enough to have that start at the Pittsburgh Business Show, and it'll be an annual event down at the Convention Center.
Are the number of businesses owned by women growing?
I think that it is. It's amazing. When I was looking at our list of businesses, we're about 50-50 with women-owned businesses right now at the show exhibiting this year.
Really?
Wow. So, and I think the numbers are growing all the time. So I'm really excited to be a part of that and to help support them.
Is that particularly strong here in Western Pennsylvania, or is that reflective of what's happening across the country?
I really couldn't speak to across the country, but I know from some of the women networking groups that I belong to, there's lots of women businesses in the Pittsburgh market, and they really are growing, I think, just day by day. Last year, we actually host an event called the Pittsburgh Business Pitch, and if there's anyone out there listening that has a really great concept for business, they can actually go to that website and put their concept in, and we have a suite of services. So last year, we had a woman who had just an idea of doing pop-up art classes at different venues or even in your home. It's Gypsy Artistry, and she actually won the event, and she was offered a suite of services from our exhibitors, and we're proud to say that she quit her full-time job and now is focusing on her business full-time. And so she's been really successful with that, and we look forward to supporting other small businesses as well.
My guess is that at a woman-owned business, women wouldn't have to worry about breaking through the glass ceiling.
Yeah, that's true. However, there's still some opportunities out there, but we can support each other and do just fine, so it's great.
Is the agenda for the show posted on your
website? It's actually at pittsburghbusinessshow.com. There's a tab that says agenda. It's broken out during the day, Tuesday and Wednesday. You can also kind of search through it as far as morning, afternoon, and evening sessions as well.
And again, we're talking May, is it 13th, 14th?
14th and 15th.
14th and
15th. So you can go to the golf outing on the 13th and then head right over to the show on the 14th and 15th. We have a busy 3 days.
You can understand my concern over a possible conflict there, so that's good to know. Good to know. What about people's schedules? If they obviously there are folks who can't make it both days, maybe only part of one day. Is that okay?
Yep, there's tickets available. Whatever works best for their schedule. We have a business networking cafe that's open all day long with open networking, so people can pop in on their lunch hour. We'll also host the Business Choice Awards there this year. That'll be the second year for that event, and that'll be on May 14th at noon. And then we also have some networking events that happen just in the evening on Tuesday. So whatever works best for people's schedules, it's open from 8 until 9 on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, it's also open 8 to 5.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of these workshops that are going to be available at the show?
Sure. We have workshops on IT services. So Cranston IT has a whole programming and educational on Microsoft, as well as cybersecurity and protecting yourself from email hacking to marketing. We'll have a panel discussion with Higher Images.
We used to think that IT concerns were only for big businesses, you know, big operations.
Yeah.
Not anymore, baby, huh?
Not anymore. Yeah, it's amazing. The education that we go through in some of the workshops with small businesses and being protected with their emails and hacking attempts on websites, one of the largest attempts on terrorist attacks on the United States right now is cybersecurity, and small businesses are being targeted every day. So Cranston IT actually is a great organization that we partnered with to help protect and educate on some of the things that small businesses truly can do to help with those pieces. We'll also have a panel discussion on marketing. So, you know, for small businesses, one of the biggest opportunities, I think, is where do you put your marketing dollars? And so we work with radio stations, panel discussions on TV, whether you should, how to spend your marketing dollars on digital, print, traditional advertising, so that they can be educated, because that's the biggest opportunity, just educating small businesses on how to help them grow.
What about human resources, hiring new employees?
Yes, we do have some opportunities with that. We have quite a few HR professionals that will be exhibiting at the show, so they are more than happy to answer any questions. And then we do have some CEU credits offered in the morning, two sessions for those professionals that need to get those certification credits as well.
Some folks who have been in business for a while, and there are a lot of small business owners who have been around for a long time, it's a little bit of a different ballgame hiring young adults today coming out of school, isn't it?
Yes.
They're a bit of a different breed. They have different expectations.
Yeah. That's always one of the questions, I think. We do have a YouTube channel, actually, and our first year, we had Edinburgh University came down, Monica Clem, and did an amazing discussion on how to manage millennials. And so for us, content is also evergreen. So with some of the speaker presentations that we've had in the past, it's all very relevant as far as that goes. But there will definitely be some conversations and about how to manage millennials.
I've also seen some stories on the wire over the past couple of years about a growing problem with regard to keeping personnel, not just hiring them, but keeping them. You know, you don't have to go back much more than a generation or so when most people thought of a job as a career. Maybe their first job would be their only job. It's not the case anymore.
Yeah, not the case anymore. We, I think even in our business, have seen some turnover, and I think it's all about the connection that you make. We do have quite a few business coaches that really tailor to team building. Andrea Weatherwald is amazing. She's with And Beyond, and she'll be doing some programming on how to build and keep your team so that you know, some of the older business owners can kind of get a little bit more in tune with managing employees today in this world, because there's so many options. And I'm not quite sure, but unemployment is at one of the lowest rates right now. And there's just so many choices out there. And with so many small businesses opening, the choices are getting more and more. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of how you connect with your employees and keep them, keeping up with the trends.
Right now, for many companies, there are more openings than there are employees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hiring is a huge opportunity. Yeah. We will have a couple staffing companies there. I think that one of the opportunities as well with small businesses is they don't realize that there are resources out there to help with temporary hiring. It's such a big commitment to hire someone full-time, but there are opportunities to bring people on, you know, temporary, just to make sure that they are a good fit. And then there will also be business coaches out there talking about how do you know whether or not that employee is the right fit for your company, with DISC assessments and communication, you know, conversations on how to manage them and how they want to be managed, because it's a different world that we live in now.
A couple of final questions for our guests in just a moment, but first a final break here. One of our sponsors on the program today is Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. What do? They package your items for shipping. Simple as that. And how convenient. You don't have to run around trying to find the right size box or the bubble wrap or the mailing labels or that special tape or any of that stuff. Just take your items to Going Postal Butler and they'll package them up. You can ship any way you want. U.S. Postal Service, UPS, FedEx, that's your choice. They also offer other services, copying, scanning, faxing. You can rent a temporary mailbox there. They even have a notary. They're open Monday through Friday. 140 Shockey Lane is the address. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage Complex. It's right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants there on Newcastle Road. Call them for more info, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center.
Trout fishing is tradition in Pennsylvania. A sign of spring. It's good times and family fun. And getting your license is easy at GoneFishingPA.com. That's GoneFishingPA.com. Trout season starts statewide on Saturday, April 13th. Take a kid fishing or just take time for yourself. So start reeling in the memories. Get your fishing license today at GoneFishingPA.com. And thank you from the Pennsylvania Fish and Boat Commission.
Just a couple of more questions for Linda Joe here, who's the president of the upcoming Pittsburgh Business Show. You'll also be announcing the Business Choice Awards, right?
Yeah, absolutely. The Business Choice Awards, the second annual, will be held on May 14th at noon at the Pittsburgh Business Show at the David L. Lawrence Convention Center, and nominations are still being taken. So if there's any businesses in the 10-county region of Pittsburgh, they can go on to the businesschoiceawards.com and nominate great businesses, and then we'll find out who the winners are.
So. Pretty big show, folks. More than 200 exhibitors, 30-plus speakers, and workshops. The Pittsburgh Business Show. And once again, a quick reminder, because the deadline for getting involved with the golf outing at Treesdale coming up on May 13th. I think you said, Melissa, it's May 7th. That's the deadline.
That's correct.
So is there a contact? Do people, can they sign up online, get info online? Do they call you? What do they do?
Yeah, they can go to our website at pghnorthchamber.com, or they can call our office, and they can sign up from there.
Terrific. Well, nice to see you, ladies.
Thank you.
Linda Joe, nice to meet you.
Yeah,
Melissa,
absolutely.
Good to see you. Yeah. Nice to have you here with us today. Melissa Leedy is the member accounts executive with the Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber. One of their offices is in Cranberry. And Linda Joe Thornburg is president of the Pittsburgh Business Show. A program note coming up tomorrow on It's Your Turn. We're scheduled to chat with the president of Butler County Community College, Nick Neupower. I tell you what, there's a lot of news with higher education these days, from the planned budget appropriations in Harrisburg to the changing face of higher education. Dr. Nick Neupower with us on tomorrow's program. And don't forget tonight, it's a hockey night in New York, and you'll hear Penguin Hockey right here on WISR. We'll have live radio play-by-play of the opening game of the Stanley Cup playoff series with the Penguins and the New York Islanders. We'll be live from New York, 7 o'clock tonight, Penguin warm-up. And don't forget, no Mike Lang tonight. Mike's a little under the weather. He had a bad reaction to some medication for pneumonia. He was actually in the hospital for a while last week. So he's temporarily in the penalty box. But we'll still have the hockey for you tonight from New York here on WISR Airtime, 7 o'clock. I'm Dave Malarkey. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30 on It's Your Turn here on WISR.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 12:30 to 1:30, right here on WISR 680.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Reliving precious moments we knew. So many days have gone by, still I'm so lonely and I guess there's prison walls of my mind, there's still a part of you left behind, and though it hurts, I'll get by without your love.